Welcome to Tardi Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be studying Sefer Yeshayahu, Perek 14. The last Perek described how Paros and Madai conquered Bavel. They showed no mercy to the people of Bavel, just as Bavel showed no mercy to Yehuda. Bavel is left uninhabitable, never to be rebuilt. This Perek has three sections. The first is a continuation of the Perek about Bavel. Next, there is a Masa about Ashur. And finally, there is a Masa about the Plishtim. The goal of Bavel being destroyed is twofold. First, it is retribution for all the evil they have done. Second, as long as Bavel exists, the Jews cannot return to their land, as that is part of the Nevuah of Yirmiyahu. After Galus Bavel, the Jews will return to their land, either for a temporary Geula or for the final Geula. Each time there is a change in the government of the Jewish people, it has the potential to be the ultimate Geula. Geula can happen in two ways. Either Hashem has a deadline when there will be a redemption, which may be temporary or permanent, or the Jewish people will be so holy that Mashiach will come. Yeshayahu distinguishes between these two different types of Geula in Pasuk 1. Either Geula will happen, Ki Rachem Hashem es Yaakov, when Hashem has pity on Yaakov. In this case, the Geula, such as is the case during the second Beis HaMikdash, is not going to be complete. If we deserved salvation, it would not be a result of Hashem's mercy. When we deserve salvation, it is because Uvachar Od Bi Yisrael. Hashem will again choose Yisrael. We will deserve the complete Geula, as we will be the choicest of humanity on earth. Whatever the type of salvation will happen, after Bavel is destroyed, there will be an improvement in the status of the Jew in the world. Hashem will v'nicham al admasam, set them in their own land. Hashem gave the Jewish people sovereignty after Koresh and Daryovesh allowed them to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. The status of the Jewish people, says Yeshayahu, will rise to such an extent that v'nilva hager aleihem v'nispechu al Beis Yaakov. The convert will join with them and will stick with the house of Yaakov. After the Jews are exiled among the nations, those very nations will bring the Jews to Israel. Instead of the Jews being enslaved by the other nations, Pasuk 2, Bahayu Shovim Lishovehem, the Radu Binuksehem. They, meaning the Jews, shall take their captors captive, and they shall rule over their oppressors. The Mamloi says that when Bavel was destroyed, as described in the last parak, the people were left with no homeland, as it was completely decimated. The land could not produce any vegetation. The Kastim wandered around the area, and many came to Israel as foreign workers, which completes the circle of retribution for what they did. Yeshayahu now addresses the Jews living in Bavel, who are stressed and scared by their status. He tells them that when they begin to see the downfall of Bavel, they can relax and feel calm, because they will be freed from the slavery and torture they have been subjected to. These Jews should try to find a lesson in the world events and ask, Pasuk 4, Ech Shavas Noges, how has the oppressor stopped? In addition to the exile, their lives in Bavel were very hard. They were enslaved and taxed heavily. This pressure will stop, and they will need to think about what caused the change. Shavsa Madheva, how could it be that an exceedingly haughty person has ended? The word Madheva is related to the word for gold. Nebuchadnezzar took gold and made a statue of himself and ordered all the people to bow to him. How did a person with so much power get defeated? The answer, says Yeshayahu, is not a coincidence. Rather, Shavar Hashem Matei Rishaim. Hashem has broken the staff of the wicked. Hashem caused Nebuchadnezzar to lose all his power, even though he was Shevet Moshlim, the ruler of all other kingdoms. Nebuchadnezzar was not just a simple king who conquered nations. He was uniquely evil, and his downfall could only be from Hashem. This man, Makeh Amim Be'evra, Makas Be'Biltisara, struck people out of anger with an incessant striking. He never stopped. He ruled with anger and vengeance. He would torture nations for no reason. When subjects tried to flee, he would not stop chasing them as if they were the most rebellious subjects who were trying to overthrow him. Chazal say that as long as Nebuchadnezzar was alive, you couldn't find a single creature who laughed. When he died, the land, which had been quiet out of fear and out of trauma, Pasuk 7, Paktschu Rina, exploded with song. Upon his death, other kings, who are compared to trees, to broshim, cypresses, and arzei levanon, and cedars, rejoiced. They had also suffered under Nebuchadnezzar. He would jail them and enslave them. Anyone who went into jail never came out. If anything went wrong in his kingdom, his middle management was likewise subject to his fury. In contrast to the living who are happy that Nebuchadnezzar had died, the underworld, the deceased leaders, Pasuk 9, Mitachas ragza lacha, lekras boecha. The netherworld from beneath is upset for you to come to meet you. Those who are dead are upset about that Nebuchadnezzar is coming to them because they think he will try to destroy them there as well. They will awaken all the strong nations and giants from the beginning of time to gather against Nebuchadnezzar. What they will discover, though, is Nebuchadnezzar has lost all power. He is just as dead as them, and he has no power as a dead man. Pasuk 10. Gam ata chuleisa chamonu? You are just as weak as us. Elenu nimshalta, you have become like us. They continue, Pasuk 11. Tachtecha yutza rima, umechasecha tolea. The maggot is spread under you, and the worms cover you. Instead of fancy clothes, Nebuchadnezzar's body is full of worms and maggots like all dead men. They compare Nebuchadnezzar to what he had been. He had been as powerful as a morning star. Eich nafalta mishamayim, Hillel ben Shachar. How have you fallen from heaven, O star, son of the morning? Nebuchadnezzar had blazed the brightest and then fell to earth with no power. This was a man who would cast lots to see which king would serve him each day and fulfill his needs, and now he has no power. Nebuchadnezzar had planned to rule forever. He did not think he was an ordinary person. Rav Schwab explains that indeed, Nebuchadnezzar was different. His dreams, as described in Daniel Perk 2, did contain some level of nevuah. When Nebuchadnezzar had a dream which he couldn't understand, he consulted with Daniel, who was then given an important position in the government. Nebuchadnezzar later also heard a heavenly voice. The voice told him that he would act like an animal for 7 years. When Nebuchadnezzar recovered after the 7 years, he started to sing a song of praise to Hashem in gratitude for his regaining his function. That shira was so beautiful that when the Melachim heard it, they stopped him so that his shira would not overshadow the songs of David HaMelech. Unfortunately, Nebuchadnezzar's capacity for greatness made him arrogant and one of the most evil people in history. He thought that because he could access the spiritual, he was close to a god. He made a statue of himself out of gold and forced everyone to worship it, including Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who were thrown into a fiery pit for their refusal. When Chazal mentioned Nebuchadnezzar's name, they had a curse that his bones should be crushed to remind us about how awful he was. Yeshayahu describes Nebuchadnezzar's self-assessment in Pasuk 13. Va'ata amarta vilvavecha, and you said in your heart, Hashemayim e'ele mima'al chukhvei kel arim kisi. I will ascend into heaven, above the stars of God will I raise my throne. Nebuchadnezzar thought he was too great to live with mere mortals. He would, Pasuk 14, e'ele al b'masei av, I will ascend upon the heights of the clouds. Rashi says he planned to make himself a small cloud in the air to live there. Nebuchadnezzar compared himself to other people and thought he should be Adam Elyon, compared to other gods instead. This instinct was correct. Man is meant to compare himself to God in order to try to be kind and compassionate and honest. Nebuchadnezzar took that power and corrupted it. Rather than becoming more humble, he became more arrogant, thinking he was like a god without having to act like God. With this degree of arrogance, even though Nebuchadnezzar said he would be above everyone else, Hashem said, Pasuk 15, Ach el Sheol Turad, el Yarkasei Vor. Rather, you're going to be brought down to the netherworld, to the uttermost parts of the pit. The other kings see the depth to which Nebuchadnezzar has sunk and are amazed that this person, Pasuk 17, Margiz Haaretz Mar Ish Mamlachos. He made the earth tremble. He shook kingdoms. He made the whole world crazy, and then he died and is being punished like everyone else. In fact, Nebuchadnezzar's end was worse than any other ruler. Every other ruler gets buried in their family grave with pomp and circumstance. Not so Nebuchadnezzar. When he dies, Va'ata hashlachta mikivracha, you are thrown out from your grave. Chazal explained what happened. When Nebuchadnezzar became like an animal for 7 years, the people made his son, Evil-Merodach, ruler in his place. When Nebuchadnezzar came back, he was furious that his son had usurped his throne, and he threw Evil-Merodach in the dungeon. When Nebuchadnezzar finally died, the people took him out of the jail and wanted to make him king. Evil-Merodach was not doing that again, so the people exhumed Nebuchadnezzar's body and stabbed it to prove that he was really dead. They then threw the body with the animal carcasses as they did not want to bother with other burials. No one in the kingdom would honor Nebuchadnezzar as he had killed so many of his own people and worked the rest with back-breaking labor. Instead of a dynasty, Nebuchadnezzar would, Pasuk 21, Hachinu Livanov Matbeach Ba'avon Avosam, prepare a slaughtering block for his sons because of the guilt of their father. His descendants did not do anything wrong, but people wanted a guarantee that Bal Yakumu V'Yirashu Aretz, that they will not rise and inherit the earth. Only when the people know that all the children are dead are they willing to invest in rebuilding the areas that Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed. U'mal'u f'nei tevel arim, and they will fill the face of the world with cities. Indeed, Nebuchadnezzar will only have a few descendants alive, Pasuk 22, Shem Ushar, who are Evil-Merodach, Belshazzar, and Vashti, but then they will all be killed and there will be none left from this dynasty. Bavel, which was built on the backs of the whole nation, will turn into a desolate place where the only thing there would be breeding hedgehogs. Hashem will sweep it with the broom of destruction. Hashem will sweep out all the good and the bad, and nothing will be left. During this nevuah, Yeshayahu says the phrase, Ne'um Hashem Tzvakos, says Hashem, who is the God of everything and controls everything, 3 times. Yeshayahu is living at a time when the people don't even have any understanding of what Bavel will be. The entire story seems so far-fetched that Yeshayahu is insisting that this nevuah will happen. This perek, and perek 10, described the physical destruction of Ashur, Sancheirav, Bavel, and Nebuchadnezzar. Now the Das Sofrim says the perek will turn to their spiritual destruction. Ashur and Bavel had great plans and thought that they had the ultimate power. None of their plans matter. Hashem promises, Pasuk 24, Imlo kasher dimisi kein haisa, uchasher ya'atzi hisakom. As I have thought, so it was. Like I planned, so it will stand. Just as Hashem broke Ashur, he will break Bavel. He will remove their occupation, their taxes, and pressures. It is only Hashem's decisions what will happen, and this truth applies not only to Ashur and Bavel. Zos ha'etza ha'yutza al kol ha'aretz. This is the plan that is planned upon the whole earth. Vizos ha'yad ha'tzuya al kol ha'gayim. And this is the hand that is stretched out over all the nations. When Hashem wants something to happen, he puts the thought into man and it cannot be changed. Pasuk 27, Ki Hashem tzvakos ya'atz umi yafer. When Hashem has planned, who can foil it? The adonituya umi yeshivena. When Hashem's hand is stretched out to do something, who can turn it back? Pasuk 28 to 32 now transition to a new topic, Amasa against the Plishtim. The Plishtim lived on the strip of land between Egypt and Israel and have been an issue since the times of Avraham Avinu. The Plishtim started up throughout the times of Shoftim and caused problems during David. David finally subdued them and they brought tribute to Yehuda. When the kingdom split, the Plishtim began to attack again. Finally, Uzziahu, who was a righteous king, subdued them and pushed them back to their small coastal strip. During the time of Ahaz, who was a Rasha, the Plishtim again made inroads into Eretz Israel. Chizkiyahu, a tzaddik, subdued them once and for all. The Masa was said after Ahaz died when the Plishtim hoped to once again conquer more of Israel. They assumed that the holy Chizkiyahu would be easy to deal with. Pasuk 29, Al tismachi pleshes kulich, do not be happy, all of you Plishtim, ki nishbar shevet makich, because the rod that hit you is broken. They should not celebrate the death of Ahaz, ki mishoresh nachash yetzei tsefa, for from the stock of snake there sprouts an asp. David had been like a snake to them. His descendant Uzziahu had been powerful and subdued them as well. Ufiryo saraf me'ofif. But his fruit, his children of David and Uzziahu, is like a flying serpent. Chizkiyahu, Uzziahu's grandson, would be even more powerful and deadly toward them. Instead of the Plishtim conquering more of Israel, the poor of Israel will be able to wander the area looking for food because they will have no more enemies. Pasuk 30. But behemati bara'av sharshech usheirisech yaharog, and I will kill your root in famine, and your remnant shall be slain. Unlike Yehuda, the Plishtim will die from famine. Their troubles will come from the north, like they are being smoked out of their area. Chizkiyahu will come, and Pasuk 31, Ein Boded B'moadav. There will be no one alone at the appointed time. The army will be unified so that they can conquer the Plishtim completely. The Perek ends with a message to the Plishtim, but it could also describe what will happen with Babel and Ashur. There are many neighboring countries who have scouts who want to know what should they report about the strange events they are seeing. Uma ya'aneh malachei goy. What then shall one answer the messengers of the nation? They should say, Ki Hashem yisad Zion, because Zion was established by Hashem, Uva yechasu aniyei amo. In it, the needy of his people will find shelter. The goal of everything that is happening to these nations is so that Zion can once again be the home of Hashem and the Jewish people. Hashem will reestablish his reign so that Hashem can take care of our needs, the poor people. In this parak, we learned about the downfall of Nebuchadnezzar and how shocking of a change that was. We also learned that Hashem's plan will come to be no matter how powerful of a kingdom rises against him, be it Babel, Ashur, or who's ever living in the land of the Plishtim. This parak had a fundamental lesson for us all. The Da'as Sofrim asks why the parak had to go into so much detail about how powerful and charismatic Nebuchadnezzar was and how quickly he lost his power. He answers that Nebuchadnezzar had been so confident with his position and power that he convinced others that there was no hope to go against him. At times, we can also fall prey to the confidence of others in their power. We can see how the world and groups think that they can get away with anything, and we can think that there is no hope. The Pesukim teach us both by describing the death of Nebuchadnezzar and by saying so explicitly that everything is up to Hashem. Only his plans matter. Nebuchadnezzar had illusions of grandeur. He thought he would live in the clouds and be like a god. We need to know that just because another human being says something does not make it true. In addition, we can see from all the details in the Perek that the suffering in Galus is not the end of the story. Hashem will avenge each detail, and even after our enemies die, they will not rest, just as Nebuchadnezzar found no rest after his death. Only Hashem's plans will come to pass, and his goal is to take care of his people in Sion, in Yerushalayim. Thank you for learning together, Le'iloi Nishmas, Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bas Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.